Let's get our Bibles open. It's still warm in here. I'll take that jacket off. How's that? But, you know, I had some people come up to me last week and say it was the perfect temperature last week. I wasn't freezing for once. I'm like, well, it's because we were all sweating, you know, making you warm. All right, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This is number 6 in the Follow God's Pattern series. Number 6 in Follow God's Pattern. Follow the pattern that the Lord has. James chapter 1, I'm going to review, but we'll read our foundational verses. It's verse 1 through verse 4 of James 1. James chapter 1, verse number 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect and entire. Now, what we have been going in this series is we have been talking about a pattern, that God has a pattern for us to follow in our daily lives. And you say, what does that mean? Like, get up, have some time with him, go take a shower, brush your teeth, comb your hair, get dressed. That's all part of the routine of things that you do every day, yes. But we're talking about a faith pattern. A pattern of things that you do in the Word. God has a pattern of things for you to do in the Word throughout your lifetime. A pattern does not consist of just one thing. A pattern is a series of repetitive practices, okay, that you are going to do over your lifetime, and they will produce, those practices will produce certain results. But patterns, I mean, that we follow, our lives are patterns. Every one of you follow patterns, whether you want to admit it or not, or even realize it or not, your life is patternistic, okay, and it does follow a pattern. Okay, so, what about our lives? What about the life that you live today? I'll just say this. Write it down in case you hadn't thought of it, but it is the truth. Your life is a result of the pattern that you follow every single day. What you have today is a result of what you have been saying for years, and the things that you've been doing repetitively over and over and over. The truest definition of insanity is to do the same things over and over and expect different results than what you've been getting when you never change what you do. Somebody asks, are you insane? Well, if that's what you're doing, that's pretty foolish. I'm not going to confess that over you because I don't believe you are. I believe you have the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen? And you're listening to him and following the pattern that he lays out before you. But this whole business of patterns is based on verse number 4 of James 1. And let's just back up, I guess, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, how can I count it joy? When you know this, in verse 3, see that, knowing this? When you know this, you can count it all joy when the temptations, tests, or trials, is literally the way it reads in Greek, come at you. Knowing this. See, Satan's going to come after your faith. And he's the author of the temptations, the tests, and the trials. He is the one who's coming to get you off of your faith stand. Don't ever say that that's God doing it. That's what verse 13 says. Don't ever accuse the Lord of being the one who's causing you the trouble, who's putting the temptations, the tests, and the trials. God's trying me. God is tempting me. God is testing me. Have you ever heard that? Some of you have thought it. I've got news for you. God doesn't have to test you to figure out where you're at. There's some well-known preachers that preach that garbage, and I don't mind telling you, it is garbage, because the minute you start thinking God's the one behind the test, God's the one behind the temptation, God's behind this trial, you immediately start giving into it. That is a doctrine that has been wrong and preached wrong, and people have thrown it out there, and some well-known preachers, even that circulate in some of the Word of Faith circles, throw that stuff out there now and again, and it sounds like, oh yeah, yeah, God's behind that. God's not behind the temptations, tests, or trials. Look at verse 13. What does it say? Let no man say when he is tempted, tested, or tried. That's what it reads in Greek. Don't ever say it. Let how many men say? Only just a few in Stillwater can get away with it. If you're a national ministry and you say it, then it's got to be true. Let no man say. When he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he. How many? Any man. You hear me? You've got to get that through. Some of you have some denominational backgrounds that taught you that, and it was very well ingrained, and through your life experience, you've seen some things happen in your life, and you've attributed it to God because you hung in there and kept the faith and kept on believing God, even though this trial came. You thought it was God doing it to you to strengthen you, to test you. You know, I prayed for patience, and I got trials. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. God doesn't send that stuff. He redeemed you. Amen. If you don't believe you're redeemed, then what are you? If you don't believe you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, then you're open game. We just got through talking about what a wonderful name, the powerful name of Jesus. Let no man say when he's tempted, tested, or tried. There are no exceptions. You can go into the Old Testament, and it's normally just a translation problem. God did tempt Abraham. You remember Genesis 22, verse 1. I've mentioned it to you before. That word should never have been translated tempt because of the negative connotation that goes with tempt. God proved Abram. That's what it literally reads in Hebrew, proved him. You remember the fishing rod with, remember when I did this illustration? It was pretty funny, actually, because it kind of brought everything into perspective. I went out back here at the time. Budweiser was next door. It was before Jim, before you guys were in there. And the Budweiser distributorship was right here. There was so much beer over there, you wouldn't believe it. And I said to the Lord one time, yeah, it'd be kind of nice if they'd get out of here. They had been here for years. Budweiser, you know. So one time. And came back the next Sunday. I had seen the people on Friday over there. I had to ask them about something, about the lot line. They were coming up to measure something on the lot line or something. I forget what it was. And I went in there and talked, and the guy goes, hey, how you doing? Would you like a beer? Nah, I'm good. I said, I quit drinking that stuff years ago. Said, I'm the pastor next door. Oh. What he didn't know is I grew up north of Milwaukee. The beer drinking up there makes this look like child's play. I'm not bragging on the idiots up there, because that's what they are. But all that drinking stuff, it's like, man, I got to do something to have peace. You want a beer? I said, no. I said, I drank that stuff. I got born again, filled with the Spirit. I don't do it anymore. I said, but, you know, have at it if you want it. Oh, no, I can't drink on the job. I said, well, I'm on the job all the time. Anyway, so I talked to them, told them what was going to happen so they would know what was going on. Anyway, that was on like a Thursday or a Friday. Came in on Sunday morning. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding. Drove up, and when we drove in, I said, Ann, that looks like a chain on the door. So she said, yeah, I wonder. So we got in there, a couple of our ushers came in. I said, hey, well, you guys go next door and look. They went over there. The door was chained. Everything was, went around the back and looked, and everything was out of the back. It was gone. They were gone like that. I said, thank you, Lord. Anyway, so, but this was a time when I was going to do this illustration. So I walked back there and I found a beer bottle or a beer can, something, because people would drink it and throw it over the fence over there. So anyway, I found this beer can, dumped the beer out of it, you know, it smells like beer, you know, jeez. So anyway, bring it in. I hooked it on the hook, and then I dangled it in front of people in the church. Wouldn't you like a cold one? Wouldn't you just love a cold one? Guess what? God's not tempting you like that. And then we found a cigarette. Come on. Go for it. No, God's not going to tempt you with stuff like that. You know what? All that stuff doesn't send you to hell, but it does ruin your testimony. And it harms your body. What about the drinking caffeine? Some of you have to have caffeine every day of the week or you're crazy. Don't let anything lord it over you. Amen? I'm getting a lot of, I feel this vibe of you not liking what I just said. But anyway, it's a caffeine vibe, Pastor Dan, yeah. Anyway, God's not the one behind the temptations, the tests, and the trials. So whatever it is with you, if it's a big stinking chocolate pie, I mean, if I dangled that in front of you, somebody would just grab it, man. I mean, there'd be no. So God's not the one tempting you, testing you. He's not the one putting those temptations in front of you to see if you'll go for it or not. No. But look at this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work. So the trying of your faith puts this patience into effect. Satan's coming after your faith. He wants to get you off your faith. If he can get you off your faith, he can change your destiny. He can alter your destiny if you let go of your faith. That's the whole idea in this whole thing. To stop living like a Christian. Stop believing God. Don't you know that stuff only works for a few people and you're not one of them? So he's after your faith. So the trying of your faith puts this patience to work. Patience is not putting up with something. Patience, it's a Greek word, hupomene, and it means redundancy or repetitive endurance, cheerful endurance, constancy. So now the trying of your faith happens. We're not going to say it's God doing it because God's not the one doing it. The trying of my faith is happening. Here we go. So I'm believing God, and now this comes up. Man, he's going to test your faith. He's going to come against you. God's not testing your faith. The trying of your faith is not the Lord doing it. If I had time, I'd go over to Peter and explain that to you there too, because some have misinterpreted that. But so here's the temptation comes, the trying, the testing comes, and patience kicks in, this endurance, this redundancy, this repetitive thing. And go on to the next verse, verse number 4. So the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then it says verse 4, but let patience, this redundancy, this constancy, this cheerful endurance, let it have her perfect work. Underline the word work. This is where the whole pattern that we're talking about comes from. This word, work. Ergon, you've heard of. What's the word? Like when something is ergonomic. I was caught up with the word. Ergonomic. Ergonomically. You've seen some of these standing desks now that they have. It's supposed to be the chair that your legs hook in and you kind of lean or whatever. Anybody seen those? Ergonomic shape. But the mouse. The mice. When you have more than one mouse, it's a mice. The mouse that are ergonomically shaped. The keyboards now that you can get that are curved in like this and you type like this because it's more natural than doing this. It causes wrist strain and all that. Ergonomically works better, right? That's the word work right there. And here's what it means. Business or employment. That which one undertakes, and this is repetitive a repetitive process. But let patience have, let this consistency, redundancy, cheerful endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. That's the end result. That's what we're after. That every one of us end up perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's what we're after. That's the end goal. Okay? When your faith is tried, patience goes into effect. God's not doing this. I'm going to hold fast to the word. I am not letting go. It's a spiritual force that is in you, constancy. And you're going to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not letting go of this. I'm going to hold fast to the word. I'm going to continue. And I'm going to let patience, this redundancy, have its perfect ergon work in me. Ergon describes a process. Ergon describes literally a pattern or an occupation that you and I walk in our entire life. And we do the same things over and over and over again. That's the pattern God has established for us so that we end up perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But most people never catch that. They never figure out what the ergon, the occupation they should be repetitively carrying out every day, what it is. We started in the beginning of this series with hearing the word. That was the first one in this pattern. You got to hear the word. You got to hear the word. And you don't just hear the word on Sundays, or you don't just hear it on Sundays and Wednesdays, or you don't just hear it on Wednesdays. You should be hearing the word every day. Who's the best one for you to hear the word from? You. You. You need to be speaking the word. Okay, obviously from the Lord, the Holy Spirit, I understand that. But when we talk about physically hearing it, it's one thing for me to read it to you. It's one thing for me to preach it to you. And yes, we want to hear that. You need to hear that. But you need to be speaking it. So hearing the word was number one. Number two was the part of speaking the word. Okay, so it kind of folds into that next one. Hearing the word and speaking the word, they dovetail into one another. You hear it, you speak it. You speak it, you hear it. Okay. Then the third one was the renewing of your mind with the word. And this is where we were at last week, not last week, but the week before. I didn't preach last week because we had a special speaker. And I want to go into this more today. I didn't feel like I finished that last time. So we're going to go into this renewing of the mind a little bit more. The title of the message today is The Law of the Mind. Now, I talked to you about that law. And I'm telling you, the law of the mind is very, very important in this whole process. We're going to follow the pattern. We're going to hear the word. We're going to speak the word. We're going to renew our mind with the word. And part of this process of renewing the mind is recognizing that there is a law of the mind. Okay? The Bible speaks of it. We'll go there shortly. I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that you don't need to understand every minute detail about the process in order for this to happen, the renewing of your mind. Well, how does it work? How is my mind being renewed? Piece by piece. You don't need to understand it piece by piece. You can get hung up on tiny little things and miss doing it. Remember the example I used? Who remembers? Paying attention, Pastor. Yes, you'll remember it when I say it. How many of y'all, if you needed to know exactly the process of how your body digests food and turns food into energy, if you didn't know that, it wouldn't work. How many of y'all would starve to death? Literally. If you don't understand the intricate process of when it takes food, breaks it down, distributes it to different parts of your body, creates energy in your body. If you don't understand exactly how that works, all the science involved, guess what? It works whether you understand it or not. Say yes, Pastor Dan, that's true. Because when you ate your breakfast this morning, as much or as little as that may have been, and maybe you had bacon and eggs, maybe you had a piece of burnt toast and a rotten egg. I don't know what you ate. Amen. Hope you didn't eat that. Your body will receive it and make you feel better as a result of eating. Amen? Renewing the mind is the same way. You need to be hearing the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. Speak the word. Read the word. Get into the word. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Why? Because God and his word are one, and whatever the Lord speaks is his word. So this is our, again, our blueprint. And we need to get our minds thinking like this, because there's a lot of things pulling on us to think a different way. It's what advertising is all about. They get you to think a certain way, and they want you to buy their product, so they get you to think this, their product is the best. Have you ever bid on that? Where you bought this one because you thought it was better, and it turns out it was twice as expensive, but it's the same as this great value product over here? You know what I'm saying? Sure. You don't need to understand how your body processes food and turns it into energy in order for it to happen. So you're always going to start and end with the word. Spiritual truth always supersedes physical fact. Now, go back to Genesis 11 again, and I want to go back to this portion of Scripture. This is the Tower of Babel incident. Now, these people at the Tower of Babel were not regenerated people. These are unregenerated people. The word Babel means confusion. They do not have the Holy Spirit living in them. They are not renewed people. But we see something about success that would occur for them. The one thing that we can see from it is they were in unity. They were in agreement. They were in one accord. Amen? It's true. Look at verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, or their one lip. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have, and look at the word there, imagined to do. Now, I've ministered about the imagination before. God gave you an imagination. You realize that? The Lord gave you an imagination. Now, that imagination can be used for godly purposes or ungodly purposes. And it's amazing how the enemy tries to infiltrate that, you know? I mean, he'll get you thinking on something you shouldn't think on. You begin imagining things. And before you know it, you're off over here and you're not anywhere in near the will of God for your life. You need to be careful of that. Your imagination is a powerful thing. The people imagined that they could do anything set before them. They had this. Now nothing will be restrained. This is the word now. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You see that? Imagined. Now, the mind builds images. You're doing it right now as we speak. That's how your mind operates. And again, you think in pictures. But what's interesting, I look back here in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, and the Lord was upset with the people, you remember, because there it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You remember that? Psalm 2, verse 1 says, it speaks about a vain imagination. Let me just read it to you. I didn't have that one committed to memory. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain or an empty thing? What does the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians 10 that we're to do with vain imaginations? We're supposed to cast them down, remember? Things that rise up in your thinking. Your mind is a powerful thing. And God gave you a mind. And you're supposed to take that mind and renew it with the thoughts of God. This is part of this process. If you're going to think like God, you need to put his word into your thoughts. Because if you don't, and don't do it consistently, you'll keep just going back to just whatever feels good. You'll always, it's kind of like water always takes the path of least resistance, right? I mean, do it down a hill sometime and just run a hose and watch. And it'll go and it'll curve over here. It's going to take wherever it can go the easiest. If it meets resistance, it's going to go, and that's what it's going to turn. It's going to do whatever it needs to do. It's going to follow the path of least resistance. And that's the way that if you're not careful, your mind will always gravitate towards things that are easy. How many of y'all have noticed that in your life? If you have a choice between doing this, the process over here is 8 steps, but I see this on YouTube, I can do it in 2. Let's try the 2. Come on, everybody in here has at one time or another tried to shortcut a process. And then you're going, wow, there's a reason that they spent more time. Jim, let's just use auto body stuff for a moment. I mean, I remember growing up that they had Earl Scheib paint jobs, $29.95. And you could go in, take your car in there, and they'd paint your car for $29.95. They did not prepare the surface of that paint like it should be prepared, right? They had maybe 2 steps, 3 steps. Boy, and if you didn't mask your headlights came out the color of your car. Right? I mean, that, I kid you not. Earl, I think they're still in business, aren't they? Yeah, boy. We don't want a bad mouth, Earl. But there were guys that went, I'm going to get my car painted and take it down there. And it wasn't near the kind of job that somebody like this next door would do. Where it's a meticulous process of steps involved to get the surface perfect before they shoot it with the paint. There they rough it up. All right, shoot it. It doesn't work like that. If you shortcut the process, and you're going to get what you pay for. Do you hear me? And regarding your mind and your thoughts, if you are constantly going the path of least resistance and you are trying to live this Christian life without putting the word into your thoughts, you're not going to be very successful, and it's going to create a great frustration in you. But if you'll do it right, if you'll get into the word, if you'll spend time in the presence of God every day, you will be strengthened as you go. Do you think everybody that ends up strong in the things of God was always strong in the things of God? No. I mean, but it comes through diligent, repetitious pattern of doing things every day in our lives. A pattern of doing things regarding the word. Every day. Bible commands you to study to show yourself approved. Are you doing that? I think that's Pastor Dan's job. Well, it's part of what I do, but it's something you're supposed to do too. Okay, amen anyway, praise God. But get after it. Can you imagine? I said this to you last time. Try to imagine what happened yesterday. Can you imagine what happened when we walked into the market? Huh? You can remember, but you don't really have to imagine, do you? Imagination always speaks to the future, doesn't it? Imagine what it'll be like 10 years from now. Imagine where you'll be 35 years from now. You know, imagine! You don't imagine things from the past. You imagine things toward the future. And God will take the imagination, and your imagination is this blank canvas that the Lord wants to paint upon. It's not supposed to stay blank. Amen? Amen? He wants to paint upon your imagination his will for you. And the more that you think on it, and the more that you realize it, the more you begin to see what he's talking about in your life, the more you start to move in that direction. And it'll cause momentum in that direction. Once I knew the Lord's plan for my life regarding ministry, and he doesn't give you the end of the whole thing. He gives it to you piece by piece, link by link. Remember the vision chain I've talked about? You go one link at a time. A lot of people want to start here and they want to skip all this stuff and go down to here. It's kind of like trying to paint a car that should take a month to get it prepared, and you've got it prepared in 3 hours. There's a difference. People want to skip. They want to jump. They want to get ahead of things. And the bottom line is, It's piece by piece by piece. And he will begin to lay things out for you, and he'll paint it upon that backdrop of your imagination. Now, let's talk about this law of the mind, because it's very, very important. Go to Romans chapter 7. So these people, they were going to use their imaginations. And God said there's nothing they can't do. But because they're unregenerate people, he had to come down and kind of put an end to that, didn't he? But for regenerated people, those of us that are born again, he wants to use the imagination in a good way. A lot of times people don't like to talk about imagination because they think, now you're talking mind over matter. No, I am not. I'm still talking about faith and this process of renewing your mind, but you have an imagination whether you want to admit it or not. And God gave it to you, and there's a purpose for it. Do you imagine yourself laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover? I can't tell you how many times I'll lay down at night and I'm going to sleep, and I see things that the Lord is telling me that I'll be doing, and it's just happened throughout the years. And I'll see myself doing those things, preaching the word, laying hands on the sick. The Lord showed me long before it ever happened that I would lay hands on a crippled man, that man would be healed. I saw that happen, and I saw it come to pass in Central America. I saw the guy walk. Totally in front of 1,000+ people. I saw it happen. One other time I had been in prayer and the Lord showed me that I would have a wife. I was grateful for that. Amen. Because at the time I had no prospects. Okay. Anyway, it was me. Anyway, I was driving and I just had a flash where I saw me standing at a pulpit and a blonde-haired woman standing next to me. How I knew it was my wife, I don't know. I just knew that was my wife. And I saw it for a split second, and it wasn't like an open vision. It was just something in prayers, just like the Lord showed it to me while I'm driving. And I was like, okay. And that happened years before I ever met her. We've been married now for 30 years. And doing the work of the Lord many times. She stood next to me. And I've thought of that when she stood next to me. I've had a flashback to that long ago. Isn't that cool? Now, did I try to make that come to pass? No, I dated some brunettes in between. I did. Ooh, forget that. All right. None of them could stand in even close to what Ann is. So... praise God. Mama, that's right. Amen. You don't have to say it. I believe that. That's right. Amen. Whoo, let's go. It's getting warm in here, isn't it? Yeah, boy. All right, let me read you what I wrote. Imagination, it's the screen of your mind where you paint what you anticipate to happen in the future. Momentum's generated in that direction in your life. Now, are we in Romans 7? You there? Look at verse 23. This is that whole chapter where Paul's talking about the thing I want to do, I end up not doing. The thing I don't want to do, I end up doing it. Right? Have you ever been in that boat? Have you ever vowed you were going to stand strong and do the right thing? And you turn around, you go right to that thing just like a dog to its vomit. My goodness. That's what the book of Proverbs says. I didn't just throw that out there to be gross. But that's what the Bible says. People do. They fall into that pattern. They just kick back to whatever the flesh likes and whatever the flesh wants to do and whatever makes them feel good. They end up doing it, and it's always regretful. Look at verse 23. Ah, here's Paul. He says, but I see another law in my members. Ooh, ooh, oh, hold it. Warring against the what? Law of my mind. You see it. Find it. Because this applies to everybody. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So you have the law of the mind, and then you've got this another law that's warring against the law of the mind. Is the law of the mind good? It's not a trick question. Yes. This other law that's warring against the law of his mind is trying to bring him into captivity to sin. So he sees this thing going on. The law of the mind is a good thing. And all the law of the mind is simply, it's that process of putting the word into it, letting the Lord paint in your imagination the things that he has for you. Ask of him, he'll show you things to come. The Bible is very plain about it. He wants to get you on the right path and be doing the right things. But the problem is, Satan comes along and you have not resisted things like you should. He's trying to get you off your faith. He's trying to pull you away from taking that stand. And he alters your destiny. And so your imagination is not functioning in line with what the Lord is trying to give to you. It's functioning in line with what you saw on the pay TV channel the other night. Or what this person is doing. You need to be very careful who you hang out with. Do you hear me? A man or a woman is known by the types of friends they choose. Because they speak into your life. They affect you with things that they do or decisions they will make. And if you let that affect you, the devil can use people. Have you ever noticed that? Ah, but she's so pretty. I'll bet Jezebel was pretty too. We'll never know, will we? Did I ever tell you I saw a mummy of a woman from way back in Bible days? That's the ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life. Well, granted, she was how many years old and she was dead for all those years, you know, but her teeth. And I was like, ooh. Okay. It was pretty cool, actually, but. Where does he get these things from? I don't know. So I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity or into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members. So the law of the mind involves this whole process of putting that word into your thoughts, letting the Lord paint pictures in you of what he has for you to do in the future. How many of y'all see yourself doing certain things? Come on, do you? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Oh, I just never thought of it that way. Well, we'd be praying about buying a home one day. Because when we were first married, we lived in a place, it was called Foxfire, in their little A-frame duplexes, individuals, you know, little houses, probably 1,000 square feet, maybe, something like that. Anyway, we'd be sitting there. We were first married. I mean, it was a nice place. Great place for your first place to be married. And it was great. It was fine. And it was $300 a month. That was even better yet. But we'd be sitting there and I'd, you know, we'd have time of prayer, whatever. I'd do my devotion. I'd be sitting there and I'd see myself sitting on a different couch in a nice home by the fireplace. You say, well, now, did God give that to you? It was a desire of my heart. The Bible says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Now, it's going to work one way or the other. Either he's planting that desire in you, or he said he would give you the desire of your heart, as long as it doesn't transgress the word. I don't think there's anything wrong with a person desiring their own home. How many of y'all are believing for a house today? Come on. Put your hand up and put it up high. You might as well start now, Ben. You're young, but start now. Austin, you believing for a house? Who else is believing for a home one day? They want to buy a home. Have their own home. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for granting. You see these hands, you see them. You see their faith, Lord God, each one of them. We're not any better than anybody else. That is a desire of their heart, and I thank you that you bring the desire of their heart to pass. Now, Father, I thank you that they'll follow in your pattern, and you'll lay it out, and it will, just as surely as we're standing here, sitting here today, come to pass in Jesus' name. Believe you receive it. Right now, it's what, 22 minutes before noon on the 15th of September, 19? You guys, I wrote 1993 at the bank one day, not that many months ago. I had a flashback. I'm like, whoa. I thought I was, you know, whatever, because I've always got stuff on my mind. And the lady at the bank said, hey, I just wrote 2002 the other day. I said, isn't that, you know, how's that happen? Well, praise God. So those of you that have your own homes, get in agreement for those that are believing God for houses. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So this law of the mind. The law of the mind will take you away from sin. How does that work? Because there's another, that other law that's in his members, Paul said, is trying to war against the law of the mind. So the law of the mind must be something that God is going to use to bring his will about. That's why the devil and the flesh get involved. That other law is trying to combat it. That's what I'm telling you. The temptations, the tests, and the trials that come against your thoughts have to be struck down with consistent, patterned, biblical lifestyle. Hear the word, speak the word, renew the mind. Got to renew your mind with the word. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not, the Phillips translation says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. You renew your mind with the word of God. My goodness, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every one of us want to be at that place where we're perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. So come on. You're going to have to employ this process of doing what I'm talking about. Now, how are you going to keep your mind set on the things of God? The Bible says, and go to Colossians 3. So you see that right there, that there's a war going on, coming against the law of your mind. God wants to use your imagination. The people in Genesis 11 were going to use it for wrong purposes. So he had to come in there and wipe that thing out and get rid of that their ability to do that. He scattered them is what he did. He didn't kill them. He scattered them. So God gave you an imagination. It's amazing how he has used the imagination and will use it for good things. You're supposed to cast down vain imaginations, but not imaginations that are God-given. What imagination has the Lord placed into your thoughts? You see. You want to have a child? Nick? All right. We got agreement. We need agreement there. They are married, so that's cool. I know because I stood right here. Do you? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, you want them, you got them. Amen, you're done. It wasn't quite that quick, but anyway. So, you see yourself as a mama, don't you? It'll come to pass. In Jesus' name. Now, we want God's timing, of course. We want God's timing. Amen. God's timing. You hear me? And she's married too, by the way. I'm not. And those single ladies that want to become mamas, you make sure you know, and all that. But praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey! Thank you, Lord. Do you see yourself owning your own home one day? Now, I'm just saying God will give you a picture. He will do that for you. He will show you things to come. That's what is it? John 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit. Let me just read it to you. John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, he's going to bring things to your remembrance. He said, there's another one. He's going to show you things to come. That's not the one I was thinking of. Go look it up. Not now. Just write it down. He will show you things to come. That's the verse I was thinking of. It's probably John 15. Just read the whole book of John. You'll find it. It's in there. Amen. So, this pattern. This is, but let patience, let this thing, this patience, this redundancy, the thing that you do repetitively every day, let it have its perfect work. Let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Let it have its perfect pattern. Let the pattern play out. Stay in the pattern. Stay after it. Speak the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. Speak the word. Renew your mind with the word. We're going to talk about corresponding actions next week. Have this pattern going over in, with a redundancy, meaning it's done over and over and over and over, just like you go to work every day. You go to work, you go to work, you get up, you go to work, you get up, you go. Ooh, the grind. But it will reap benefits if you're diligent. Man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? That doesn't say what you work at. You know. So put your hand to something. Amen. So Colossians 3, quickly. Quickly. We got to get done. Colossians 3. Where is it? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Verse 2. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Right there. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. El Pastor Dan, you just said, you know, to ask the Lord, and he'd painted in the canvas of my imagination. That's right. Ask the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will show you what he wants for you. He'll give it to you. He'll show it to you. He'll paint it into your imagination. And the more you think on what he has shown you, Lord has shown me things. I saw myself laying hands on a crippled man long before I ever did it down in Central America. Well, I don't know how many thousand miles away. And the man had a makeshift, like, crutches. And his legs were all bowed and bent. I mean, I can't even imitate it because they were all bent. And he couldn't walk without these things, these crutches, like. And they kind of go out, you know, and he's like this. And it was a sad thing. I've had him. I was walking with him. He put the one down. I grabbed his arm, and I was like, okay, let's go. Got down to the end, and the Lord said, turn around, let him go. And he had to drop the other crutch. Jesus' name, I let him go, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you've got to do something. Because if you don't, he's going to fall in a clump, and they won't believe another word I say. He started to walk, and the more that he walked, the straighter he got. And the place erupted, and a bunch of people got healed that night. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Come on. Thank you, Lord. But the Lord had shown me that before I ever went down there. I don't know how many years before. And it's kind of like somebody say, isn't that deja vu, Pastor Dan? No. You know what deja vu is? What they say it is that it's a something that you see ends up going through a filter in your brain that's the memory part. And you think that you've seen it before, but you really didn't. It just appears that. It's a counterfeit of God showing you this law of the mind. It's a counterfeit. When God shows you something and that's implanted, it's pressed into your thoughts and you're following him and all of a sudden it unfolds in front of you and you find yourself walking in this scene that you saw how long ago. And it's God's word coming to pass. The devil didn't do that. That's not the devil. The devil doesn't want people healed. He's not going to show you things about you preaching the gospel and doing this and doing that. No, he's not going to get... No, he'd try to pervert things, but he's not the one who's bringing that stuff to pass. Amen? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. All right, quickly, what it reads in Greek. Set your affection, set your mind, and keep it set on things above, not on things on the earth. Some of y'all have your mind way too pulled into things in the earth. Keep your mind set on things above. That's the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you that you have need of. That's a key. If you'll seek first God, seek him first, put him first, love him, live for him. All the other things that you have desire of will come to pass, and he'll show you things to come. He will lead you. He will guide you. Your life will end up being blessed in every way, and he'll be able to use you. That's what you have to do. It's that pattern. It's that pattern. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're going to stop right there today. Again, cast down vain imaginations, things that come against the Word of God, things that contradict the Scriptures, things that you know are not godly. You have to resist them. Your mind, again, will want to gravitate toward things that are fleshly. If you're not careful, it'll pull you that direction. Stand to your feet. You guys have been seated long enough. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you and praise you that you gave us an imagination, and you certainly don't want us abusing it. But you want to show us. You want to inform us, set us on the right path. With some people, the detail may be greater than others. We thank you for it. Thank you that you lead and guide by your Holy Spirit. And we want you to be the master who's painting on the canvas of our imagination. We don't want the devil painting pictures in there. No, we want you to do that, Lord God. So we give you that full permission to just have at it, sir. We'll stick to the pattern. And I thank you and praise you for that this day. Thank you, Lord God, that the law of the mind is a good thing, and we are walking in that to one degree or another. And we resist vain imaginations and things that the enemy tries to send our way. We resist thoughts that run contrary to the word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Put your hand up if you know Christ as Lord and Savior. You've been born again. You're born again. You're going to heaven. That's really what it all boils down to, doesn't it? Yeah, it's not about who has the most gold here in this earth or who ends up with this, that, or the other. It's not about that. It's about who knows Jesus. Amen. Who's living for the Savior. But I've got news for you. You serve him, he takes care of his own. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. I've got some prayer requests quickly, a couple of praise reports. Ben.